The rest of you take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew in the New Testament's preschool and kindergarten can be dismissed at this time. And then we have the rest of us will be turning our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, please. The Lord teaches me so much as a pastor when it comes to this time of year. Because I have to continually just commit our church to the Lord and what we're going to do regarding reaching more of this world, more countries, more cities, more villages, more counties, more souls for Him. And we certainly take this very seriously every year, but it's also to be a joyous occasion. And I'll say more about that here in just a moment. It's a joyous occasion to be able to serve the Lord. I believe that's why the psalmist said, serve the Lord with gladness. God, hey, I'm thankful to be in church. Amen? Now, y'all didn't convince me on that. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Amen. I am too. I'm glad to be able to serve the Lord together. I'm thankful to be able to seek the Lord together. And I'm certainly grateful that we can even submit to the Lord together, because that's what we are doing. We're saying, Lord, we want Your will to be done. And so that's what we're going to do. Now, what book did I tell you? Matthew. I'm going to reference Matthew chapter 6, and you can keep a marker there, but we're actually going to be going to Luke 6 first. So hold your place in Matthew 6, and we're also going to be going to Luke 6. But if you can go to Luke 6 with me, that's where we'll start. Matthew, we'll go to in a moment, but Luke, this is a parallel passage to the Matthew passage. It's what's been referred to the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this portion of Scripture in Luke has, some scholars think that it's a different occasion. It's a possibility, but it likely looks like it's the same occasion of the Sermon on the Mount, yet a bit abbreviated. God's people usually don't mind a sermon that's abbreviated. Amen? But nevertheless, that Luke gives a little bit of an abbreviated form of it. Some other little slight details, nothing majorly different. But I do want to look there at this message that our Lord is giving. And we're going to learn and seek to submit our hearts unto this truth that Jesus is teaching, especially in light of giving. In the light of giving. Notice with me Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Verse 38. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, or measure, withal it shall be measured to you again. With God's help, this morning, I want to preach a message to you entitled, The Golden Rule, or Rules, of Giving. You've heard of the Golden Rule, haven't you? We've heard it since children, have we not? The Golden Rule, what is it? Do unto others as you would have them what? Do unto you. The Golden Rule. Well, that is from Jesus, but did you know that the Golden Rule in the negative form was even before Jesus started teaching it? Even among the Pharisees, it was known in Judaism teaching that it was in a negative form. It would be like this, don't do unto others what you don't want them doing unto you. Now, that can certainly be applied and be important. It's speaking in the context of retribution, or retaliation. But Jesus, when He speaks of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, He gives it a positive aspect. It goes beyond just not doing something. It goes beyond to doing something even more beneficial for that individual. He's going to talk about in the context of judging. In fact, this passage, he's going to talk about several different concepts of life about how we should look at others in our relationships and how we approach them, how we respond to them. And this area of giving is one of them. The other one is judging. You know, he says, listen, if you're going to judge people, just make sure, and it's something for us all to understand. Anytime you judge someone, you are basically speaking your own judgment standard. Just realize that. And that should make all of us want to be more merciful. Can I get an amen? Yes. I mean, I want God to be merciful to me, and I want you to be merciful to me. And so in order to do that, you do need to exercise mercy often, because you're going to be judged with the same measure that you judge people. Can't get away from that. Also, the way you pray for people, he talks about that, and he talks about also in the context of the way you give patience and the way you give forgiveness, and that's why even the Father says in the model prayer, sometimes we skip right over it, but think about the phrase. The Father says, the prayer says, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It goes on later in that passage saying, the Father saying, listen, if you don't forgive those that have trespassed you, I'm not going to forgive you. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you're not saved? No, it just means the fellowship is broken. If you're a child of God and you're holding bitterness, God is saying you're not going to have peace in your life. You're not going to be right with me. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation. We don't believe that. But nevertheless, Jesus is teaching that we go over and beyond as God's children. We go over and beyond. We go what the Bible also calls the second mile. I want to be a second mile Christian. I don't want to just do the bare minimum. I should want to. I don't always. God knows. I want to grow, though. I want to go the extra mile. So as we think upon this verse, you know, it's based upon even verse 31. And we basically quoted that together. But you can look at it there in Luke 6. Jesus says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Again, with God's help, let's look at the golden rule of giving for God's glory. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I am so thankful to be able to stand before these precious people. I don't want to take that for granted. I don't want to, Lord, be presumptuous one iota. I am grateful. I don't deserve this, but I'm thankful. And I just pray, Spirit of God, that you would be our teacher. I pray that you would come into this place where each one of us, we really just cannot deny the fact that you are here and you are working and you are speaking through your word. And I'm so grateful for missions, so thankful for missionaries. I'm so thankful, dear God, that you sent a missionary my way so that I could hear the gospel. Lord, I'm just praying that you would do a mighty work in this church right now that only you can get the glory for. Thank you, God. We love you only because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, when it comes to giving, sometimes it's a difficult subject to talk about. It shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be. It's a part of life, right? I mean, the Bible is just full of examples of God talking to us about money. Because that's what we are as God's children. We're stewards. So it's not just money, but it's all resources. What I steward in life, we're studying that on Wednesday nights. We are stewarding life. And finances happens to be one of them. But here's one thing about finances is for sure. It is closely tied to each of our hearts. In fact, it is a fact of the Word of God. I can try. We cannot separate our heart from our money. Did you know that? You can't. That's why Jesus said, where your treasure is, what did he say? What will also be there? Your heart will be there also. So always remember, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It can be a bad thing, but listen, money is just a part of life where we survive. I mean, that's God's given us the physical abilities to have jobs, and the jobs we get money, get paid weekly, bi-weekly or whatever, and that's where we pay the bills. That's where we go buy groceries. That's where we go on vacation, and that's where we give our tithes and our offerings, and what we do for hobbies, everything like that. Our health care. I mean, Lord knows, I'm so glad there is no health care needed in heaven. Amen? Praise God, the premiums and the rates and the things, they keep just going up. And I know, depending on what season of life you are, maybe it's even worse, but there's a lot of money that goes into health care. Insurance. I mean, the insurance rates keep wanting to go up. And you just name it. You can go through all these things. Everything we do in life, money is attached in some way. And that's why I believe the Bible gives much focus on money, how we handle money, and also says that the love of money is the root of all evil. I always wondered, why would Paul say that, not just money, because money's not the root of all evil, okay? It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. How could that be possible? You ever thought about that statement? How can money or the love of money be the root of all evil? I'll tell you why. Because money is connected with every single thing in some way in your life. It's how you live. You can't do that. So what God is telling us, we need to make sure it's in its right place as we live in this world. You heard about the lady that was up in age, and she was retirement. She was getting up in there in life and figuring out, okay, what am I going to do with my life? Well, she had four sons that just wanted to go out of their way to be a blessing to their mom and to show their mom how much they loved her. And they did. So the first son, and most of them were actually pretty wealthy. All four of them were. Well, one of them decided to buy his mom a new house. And boy, it was a beautiful home. I mean, it was enormous too. It had I think it was 6 bedrooms, and man, it's just so much room and spacious, and all the fixings that go, all the works that go with it. It was a blessing. Then the other one said, all right, well, mom, we want to be a blessing and love you. I want to buy you a new vehicle, a new car. Got her a Mercedes, buddy. It was nice. And so, boy, that was showing. And there was a one that wanted to say, you know what? Mom's got this home, and man, mom would like maybe be at home more now. I want to get her a theater system, a speaker, surround sound, and load it down with the big screen. Of course, that Sam's, what are they going up to now? Don't they have 100-inch screens now? Unbelievable, okay? Isn't that crazy? Yeah, it's a 100-inch screen. I'm not ragging anybody. If you have one, I just expect you to invite me over to your home so I can see it, all right? Because the only time I see it is going into Sam's. But anyway, nevertheless, he got this new, and of course, like, okay, great, whatnot. And then the other one, he was thinking a little bit more spiritual. This son, fourth brother, said, you know what? Mom likes her Bible. So would be great. And she's getting old, up in years, and she's not seeing as well. So I want to be prepared where she could just hear the Word of God constantly. And I'd love to do something just like out of this world that people hadn't heard of. And this is what he did. He got this specially trained parrot that had been trained by 20 preachers on how to quote Scripture all day long. It was the most fascinating thing you could ever imagine. And so he got this for his mother. And it was just unbelievable. Well, it came to it, the mom decided to respond to all of them. And she, the first three sons, she said, look, this house, it's just way too big. I appreciate your thought. I stay in one room. I got all this space and everything. It's a good gesture, good thought, but all I need is really one room. And then the gentleman that got her the car said, look, I'm just not traveling anymore. And it was a great gesture. I appreciate your thoughts and your love. I really do, but I really don't need it. And then the guy that bought all the surround sound speakers, she says, that thing scares me to death. I appreciate it. It was kind of you to think. And then she said, that fourth son, I knew you really cared.
I just knew you did. And she said, I just want to tell you that was some of the best chicken I've ever had in my life. You know, sometimes what she was looking for, and what she was looking for probably more than anything with those four sons, she probably would have loved more than anything just for their presence, their heart, them being there and near to her. And they were being kind. But you know what? We talk about giving and it's important. But listen, the first thing that God is interested in is not your wallet. He's interested in your heart. And we'll never give like God intends us to give until He first has our heart. And that's when we think of even today, as I look at this verse that Jesus was teaching, a promise that He was giving. He's teaching a new concept, as I've already mentioned. It's in a positive way. He's emphasizing that this act of grace, of giving, it's pretty amazing. Because what it does, get this, it's a way for you and me to demonstrate the character of God. Please don't separate that. Our giving is in a demonstration, an opportunity for us to demonstrate the generosity of God. How generous is God? You ever thought about that? How generous is God? Well, we know, don't we? Hold your place there and go over to Romans with me. Hold your place there in Luke. I think it's very important for us to look at this verse. Look at Romans. If you need a Bible, there's some there in the pew, or you can look on there with someone. It's important to look at the Word of God. But we notice here in Romans chapter 8, notice verse 32. We're going to read that together when you get there. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Let's read it together. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Generosity of God. He gave us His only begotten Son. His unique Son. The one He had been with for all eternity. The one that was the eternal Godhead. And Jesus came to this earth and the Father gave forth His Son to be a sacrifice. And along with that, He says, and now how shall I not also give you all things freely? That's the generosity of God. So when we give, we are following in the steps of our God. We are living in His image as givers. Notice with me three points, if you would. You can take a note. You can jot these down. And when it comes to giving, number one, you and I give according to Jesus' teaching. We need to give as you want others to give unto you. I'll say that again. Point number one, give as you would want others giving unto you. Reciprocity is a way that we give back and forth in response to someone that gives to us. And that's one of the things he brings up here is responsive giving. But it goes beyond that according to Jesus' teaching. You see, it speaks of this acts of grace that it's in the light of sowing the seed and then being able to go back and reap the seed. All of these things, in fact, are in the light of sowing and reaping. The judgment that you sow on someone, it's going to come back on you. It's not karma, that's different. Because when we speak of grace, we speak of sowing grace, you're going to reap beyond that as well. It's sowing good into people's lives. It's sowing righteousness into people's lives, love into people's lives. And that comes back in the sense of even more so according to Jesus' teaching here. Now, think about this. When we think about missions, when we think about missionaries, we need to put ourselves in their shoes. Think about a missionary family like the Hill family. He was a deputy sheriff. And I think of Scott Whiting. He was an accountant in New York City. They have children. They had good jobs. They had a good church. But God put His hand on them and gave them a specific call. So they quit their jobs. And Jeff and Vanetta, by the way, are looking to completely stop working as they were before and give their full focus into construction missions, helping churches and camps and whatnot. But think about being in their shoes, coming into a local church, and you're stepping out by faith. You're saying, God, I'm going to trust you. Would you want a local church assisting you? Would you want the people to give generously so that you could go out and do what God has called you to do? Of course you would. Of course I would. And we have to think of that in that context. Here they are with their children and they're living by faith from church to church. And then when they get out to wherever God's called them, whether it be Rwanda or Botswana, they get to go and they don't have to and many times they cannot because the government won't let them. They don't have to go and get a job there on the African field, work 8 to 5 and then try to pastor a church or start a church or do all the things a pastor would do on the field. No, they get to give every day fully concentrated on winning souls, discipling people and starting churches and encouraging. They do that because God's people treat them as they would want to be treated as a missionary. Not only the missionaries, but I want you to think about this for a moment. Put yourself in the national shoes. You say the national? Yeah, I mean the person that's on the field that we're sending missionaries to. Think about this. Knowing what you, if you knew what you know now, okay, but we're in a foreign field somewhere with no church, no missionaries, you would certainly, and I would too, would want someone to bring the gospel. If you think about this, if you had a family, maybe a parent, or maybe a child that was somewhere in some foreign land and they needed help, they needed the gospel, they needed a church, they needed spiritual direction, we would be all in. We would be for that, and we should be. Because that is helping you and me to think about in the context of I want to treat these people how I would want to be treated. I want to give as I would desire to be on the receiving end, to be given to. And so that's one of the things we do. It's the main context here is giving. And the reason I know that, back in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talked about almsgiving. By the way, when you hear almsgiving in the scriptures, it's not talking about the tithe. Almsgiving is that over and beyond. Hence what we do here. So you could even say that our missions giving here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church is a sort of almsgiving. It's an extra free will offering for the sake of the gospel going forward. Now, someone could make the case that it's absolutely necessary, and I believe it is. But here's the thing, because Jesus commanded that we go into all the world. So it's not like, well, I wonder if we should be supporting missionaries. No, it's the will of God that we support missionaries. I wonder if it's the will of God that we send out people to start churches. Oh, yeah, it's the perfect will of God. I wonder if it's the will of God for us to pray for missionaries. It is the perfect will of God. I wonder if it's the perfect will of God for us to go out and tell people about Jesus in our workplace. It's because it is. It is absolutely the perfect will of God. And what we're seeing here is that we give as we would want to be given to. Number two, the second point here is that we give generously and we receive generously. We give generously and we receive generously. Notice the verse here. Verse 38. Please don't miss it. Jesus says, if you give, which I believe the main context is monetary giving because of the context in chapter 6, the same message. We see here, he says, give and it shall be given you. But not just right back equally. It says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. Now, some may think, what in the world does that mean? Well, I had to do research on it, too. You know, I've had a concept of it, but studying for this passage, I feel like I have a better understanding. So in that context, in Bible times, of course, they had open air markets. And so, you know, you're going down through the market lanes and he's selling some kind of grain and this person's selling some kind of grain and you're walking through. Well, in that time, people wore robes, right? Well, merchants had reputations, just like I guess some people here. Everything here is already prepackaged and weighed, but they didn't go off of weight. They went off of volume. And so they had certain containers that would be filled up with the grain as they walked through the market. Well, some merchants had reputations of being stingy. They'd kind of skip on it. They wouldn't press it down, the grain. They wouldn't shake it so it would fall down a little bit to make more room. Some people were stingy like that. And they wouldn't press down, they wouldn't shake it, and they just kind of put some in it and be done with it. But there were certain merchants that were just really generous. And boy, they had a great testimony. And what would happen is that merchant, boy, with a smile, joyfully, you'd present your container, you'd kind of barter, work out how much you're going to pay, and then he would do that. All right, give me your container. Would fill it up, press it down, shake it, press it down, shake it, get it down. And not only that, but then the Bible says here, flowing over. So this is where you have to understand in the Bible context, that bosom, what is it talking about in your bosom? Well, their cloak, they had on their robes, a lot of time they had excess, and what they would do is pull it up from their belt strap that went around their robe. They would pull it out and it would act as a pocket for miscellaneous things. And what that verse is teaching is that merchant many times would just not only press and shake, but flowing over would add unto that pocket as a gesture of love. Would scoop that one extra, and by the way, friend, take this home too. You see the generosity that is demonstrated there? Well, that's what Jesus is teaching you and me today. He's saying, look, if you give, let me tell you how I'm going to give. I'm going to give not only in response to what you're giving, but I'm going to give over and beyond. I'm going to give over and beyond. I'm going to bless you in such a way that you can't even imagine. And I believe that. Now listen, I'm not preaching prosperity gospel up here. Let me assure you that sometimes it comes in monetary form, but sometimes it comes in spiritual form. Sometimes it comes in better health. Sometimes it comes in physical healing. Sometimes it comes in that, praise God, that washing machine still hanging on. Please, Lord. That air conditioning unit lasting another 5 years. I don't know. I'm not God, but I do know that God promises to bless His people as we give generously. I claim this verse. It might not even be physically. It might be spiritual. You ever thought about sometimes you struggle understanding a spiritual truth and you hit some point in your life and the light goes off and you've been saved for like 10, 20 years. I don't know. And it's like, wow. It's like God's showing you some deep things. I believe God does that in ways of blessing His people as they're being faithful. Even in such an area of giving so that others might be blessed. You see, it's interesting. The Bible teaches all over that a bountiful eye shall be blessed. A church will be blessed. A family will be blessed in so many different ways. And this is what God's lesson is to us. Somebody who was critical of a preacher that was preaching on this one time and saying, "Preacher, are you telling us that the only reason we give is to get?" And the preacher thought for a moment. I thought his response was really good. And it was absolutely biblical. You want to know what he said? He said, well, maybe to some degree, but he said, I would take it another step to be accurate. He said, we give to get to give. We give, we get, we give. And what we're guilty of many times is that We get, and we might throw a little something at the Lord every once in a while. Now, I'm not saying that's anybody here, but what I'm saying is that God cares about giving. And we need to be learning to be a giving people. If you're here and you haven't taken that first step in your Christian journey to tithe, that's a first step. But then there's the second step of grace giving. The over and beyond. You see, generosity reflects your view of God. Is God generous? He absolutely is. And we have to understand that those that have a big view of God and the world and the gospel are going to be generous people. I'm going to say that again. People that have a big view of who God is and the power of the gospel and sending it around the world are going to be generous people. But you show me a people that don't care about giving, they don't care about missions. I want to tell you, their view of God is very small. May we be a people who have a wonderful view of God, and the heartbeat of God is to go after those people that I died for, that I love, that I sent my son to die on an old rugged cross, overcame death, hell, and the devil, and rose from the tomb the third day. You go tell them about my son. You support those missionaries. You pray for them. Yes, be all in. That's the heartbeat of the local church. That's what we want to do. It's interesting that if you do a study in the Word of God, I don't have time to get into it, please don't want to take this the wrong way, but there's about five areas, I think, specifically that God promises longevity of life, like to live a long time. One is one of the most obvious promises that God gives if you want to have a long life, which is not guaranteed in the sense because God's sovereign, but is this: honoring your parents. So let me just put a little insert here, children, young people. You want the hand of God on your life? You want to live a long time and live a full life for the glory of God? Honor mom and daddy. You obey them. You love them. God promises that. I was hoping to get at least one amen from one of you kids. Even from a parent. But you know, there's another one. There's several. There's the fear of the Lord. He promises long life. And there's a couple more. But there's one found in Proverbs 28:16 that says this: he that hateth covetousness prolongeth his days. And we just want to be a people that hate covetousness, greediness. We want to be able to give as the Lord has given and as He wants and desires to give through us. So, number one, give as you would want others giving unto you. Secondly, we give generously, we receive generously. But number three, in closing, we give with the right motive. We give with the right motive. Can you go over with me to Matthew 6? Matthew chapter 6. We have to give with the right motive. Because this is where the Pharisees absolutely failed. They had terrible motives for giving. Of course, they weren't saved. Most of them weren't. We know there were some that did come to know Christ. But the Judaizers, the bad Pharisees just had terrible motives for what they were doing. Notice what Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. He says, and this is talking about your extra giving above your tithe. He says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. He says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet. They did that. They really did. Before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, get this, shall reward thee openly. He's going to talk about the same thing when it comes to prayer. He said the only time they prayed was to get out there so everybody could see them. But these guys, man, they'd play the trumpet when they were getting ready to give that offering. Man, they wanted everybody to know what they're doing. That's a wrong motive. We understand that. And we also how to be able to give cheerfully. So, as we think upon this, we understand that, number one, in our motives, we need to do it because of our love for God. Would you agree to that? Our giving, number one, is because of our love for God. The Lord, the most important law that God has given and Jesus has given is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Those are the two. So number one, we give because of our love for God. Number two, we give because of our love for others. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So that's the right motive. Number three, I just said it, we must give without show. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, it would just be horrific and just wouldn't be right. It would be unethical. It would be unbiblical, and it would cause division. It would cause hurt and harm. Can you imagine if we every Sunday put up on the screen what each member was giving in their tithe? What each member was giving in their faith promise? There would be all kinds of, so-and-so giving that much. Oh, they ain't giving nothing, it would cause all kinds of issues. Nobody knows what people are giving except the accountant, and that's why it's a deacon, and that's why a deacon's got to be above reproach, a man filled with the Holy Ghost, because that is such a mature place for a person to be, to see what the church people are giving. It's not to be talked about. It's a private matter. But it is between you and God. I don't see the list. I don't want to know the list, okay? I'm not spiritual enough not to get a little resentful, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But actually I'm not. But anyway, but nevertheless, we just want to make that an issue between you and the Lord. That's your tithe, but we do the same thing with this. No name on this. But it is between you and the Lord, and it is for us to take an account as we do the numbers for the coming year. We're not going to be sending you a letter. We're not going to be checking up on you again, because we want you to do it the right motive. We're not here to impress people. We're here to do it out of a love for God and a love for others, a love for souls. We do it without show, but we also do it without compulsion. We do not want to be forced. No one should be forced into this. I believe that the Bible says that when it comes to the free offering giving, that is to be led of the Holy Spirit. And I trust that you will pray and seek the Lord and say, God, what would you have me to do and my family to go over and beyond so that we can support these missionaries? But please don't feel forced. You got to be led of the Lord. That's why it says, as every man determines in his heart, as Corinthians says. But then lastly, and this is where we got to get it, folks, and I know you're going to help me with this. Not only do we do it because we love God, love others, we do it without show, without being forced, but lastly, we do it with the right motive. We do it with gladness. Amen? Isn't it wonderful that when you can give, when you're filled with the Spirit, you can do it with a smile on your face? That's what we desire to do in this offering. Here in just a moment, we're going to pass out the cards, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to do it because God says, God loveth a cheerful giver. He said, don't do it grudgingly. Like, here you go. Preacher asking for money again. Here you go. No. I'm not trying to be mean here, but please, if you're not at a place where you can do it out of a cheerful countenance saying, to the glory of God, just hold off. You spend some time praying. Make sure your heart's in line with the Lord. God wants us to give out of the right heart. And those are the right motives. This is a quote, not original to me. The happiest people on earth are people who have discovered the joy of giving. I believe that. I believe that with my heart. I believe that is some of the most joyful people, the happiest people, are people who have a spirit of just wanting to be a giver. Now, as I mentioned here a moment ago, we as a church have a missionary family. It's in our directory. You know, we have each listed with their emails. We get their prayer letters. We encourage you to read them. This is a business meeting, if you will. This is a business meeting of what we will do for the cause of Christ, for the gospel's sake, in the coming year. And so, in just a moment, what we'll do is I'll have the ushers just pass down the cards. If you're a visitor here today, don't feel like you have to take one. You can, if you're just interested and you want to just curious how it works. You can stick it in your Bible, don't you? But we don't want any visitors to feel responsible for filling one out. This is for our members, but I ask each of our members to take a card, and we're going to fill it out this morning. Hopefully you've been praying, but I realize some of you may be like, you know what, Pastor, I totally forgot today was Faith Promise Sunday. I hadn't really prayed about this. What you would, I think I would advise you or suggest you to do is to not fill it out today. Stick it in your Bible. Pray about it because you want it to be led by the Holy Spirit. You pray about it, and then you can bring it back tonight or next Sunday. And just do it that way. We'll have cards available for the next few weeks in the pew for you to have. And so at this time, I'd like to ask my ushers if they would make their way to the front. Okay.